T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What up, everybody? Tuesday morning in the nation's capital. B. Mitch and Finley are here. We got a packed show.
Yeah.
Not even joking. 10:30, we're going to be joined by John McClain from Houston. He is the preeminent Houston football reporter. He covered the Oilers. Now he covers the Texans. 11 o'clock, we always talk to Barstool Nate on Tuesdays. The Oilers.
A lot of people are listening don't even know the Oilers.
That's actually a fair point. They think I'm talking about Edmonton. Like,
Oilers? They didn't have a football team called the Oilers in Houston.
They did. And in Tennessee. High noon. We're going to talk to Steve Sands from the Golf Channel, get an update on Tiger, talk kind of what's going on in the golf world because the Masters is approaching.
Right around the corner, JP.
1 o'clock, we're going to talk to Ben Fisher, covers the NFL for Sports Business Journal, always has a unique perspective on all things going on in the NFL. Gentlemen, how we doing?
We're doing fantabulous.
That's what I like to hear, B. That's what I like to hear. I have a shocking development for you both.
Yeah, you said that, and we need to know what you're talking about.
I brought a salad for lunch.
You did?
Ring the bell.
Are you on an eating plan or something?
No, they're doing a fundraiser for my daughter's school, and the fundraiser is at a pizza place, Lido Pizza, which I love. So we had Lido last night, and I crushed a lot of pizza.
So let me ask you, you think that eating the salad one day is going to really change what you just did yesterday?
I worked out this morning. I've already worked out, and I'm going to have a salad.
How many pieces did you eat? Pieces of pizza did you eat?
Well, it's Lido, so it's small pieces.
Okay, how many pieces did you eat is what I asked you.
I was busy. I was on with Leon Harris on Channel 4.
I don't care about all that other stuff. I'm just finding out how many pieces of pizza did you eat.
Because,
see, you have to realize.
Lido's pieces are small, dude.
Lido's pizza, that little square with that thick piece of with that thick piece of pepperoni.
They do put a big old piece of pepperoni
there. It may be a little bit more than you think, but how many pieces did you eat, Mr. Finley?
Solid.
Mr. Finley, answer the question.
Solid six-pack.
Okay, six.
Probably 8 or 10.
Okay, so probably over 1,000 calories.
Well, I also had some wings and a meatball, too.
Okay.
Shout out Jack Kelly. He
probably
orders a meatball.
Probably 17 to 2,000 calories. What workout did you do this morning?
It was a hard one, dude. It was a hard one.
What did you do this morning?
I mean, I went
I noticed you keep avoiding my questions, Mr.
You want me to read it to you?
I just want to know, how long did it go? How many minutes?
It was an hour.
A whole hour. Were you working the whole hour or did you have breaks?
Dude. I'll read it to you. It's my boot camp workouts I do. I've shown them to you.
Boot camp workouts.
All right. We did.
I like the wise.
We did 10 sprints across the basketball court. And then.
Were they sprints or were they strides?
Strides.
Okay, go ahead.
Squats, shoulder press, full court lunge, two-hand high pulls, jump squats, bear crawls with jumping jacks in between. Two sets of that.
That you probably burn about 400 or 500 calories.
Well, dude,
600 tops.
I got two more sets.
No, I'm just telling you, you burn about 600 calories top. I know you did like a HIIT workout, kinda.
Well, dude, then we did a whole nother set with mountain climbers in between. Then we did abs. Then we did more running.
Yeah, and there's some breaks in there. So you burn about 600 or 700 calories, and you ate 2,400 calories. So you still have.
Well, I also had a bunch of cookies.
Okay, what kind of salad do you have today, sir?
Spinach, tomatoes, chicken.
Hold on, wait, go ahead. Backpedal. You had some cookies.
I ate my daughter's cookies because I was mad we didn't have any candy. They're called like bunnies. They're kind of healthy cookies for like little kids. They're more like Teddy Grahams.
You know, little kids' cookies have a lot of sugar and a lot of carbohydrates, basically.
Right,
which
that's
is
what
sugar.
I like.
So that's
like
what the little kids stuff have, because we know that they're going to burn it off. So therefore, for dad bod, J.P. Finley, so we're at 3,400 calories by now. No, I'm just going to say 3,000 calories total.
Isn't that what you're supposed to eat in a day?
But this was just that one sitting, dude. This wasn't all the other stuff you ate yesterday.
Well, also had a meatball sub
yeah,
and a
you
giant
had a meatball
Dr. Pepper.
Sub.
I only drank about half of that Dr.
Okay,
Pepper.
Okay, half of the Dr. Pepper. What did you have, a 6-inch or 12-inch sub?
Landfill encouraged me to get the foot long.
Okay, so how many calories do you think is in that bread?
Do you guys really think is it possible I had like 5,000 calories yesterday?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think
the damn meatball sub might have been well over 1,500 to 2,000 itself, because you got what else you had on it? Don't tell me about the lettuce.
You can't put lettuce on it.
What you had?
I just like meatballs provolone. I like my meatball
sub. Yeah, cheese as well.
Simple.
Okay, cheese.
So
you could have eaten about 5,000 calories yesterday. So therefore,
is that
you are,
too many?
Huh?
Is that too many?
If you are a professional athlete, are you like, what's my man up there?
I'm a professional blogger.
Are you like Michael Phelps? Are you burning 12,000 calories a day?
I walked my dog. That probably burned a couple.
Walking the dog. Mm-hmm. You probably right, a couple.
What are you supposed? How many calories are you supposed to eat today?
But what I'm saying is
3,000?
Well,
I was a little over, to double.
To maintain your weight?
But I was raising money for a school.
I understand what you're saying. You can buy that. That's raising the money. Eating everything inside is not the thing. But my question is, you think because you brought in a salad today that it's going to alleviate what you did yesterday?
It's a step. I might get fish for dinner tonight.
What's in the salad?
Spinach, tomatoes, chicken.
What kind of dressing?
I brought some French. French is probably the least light salad dressing available.
You think?
I love French dressing, though.
Me too.
You're eating right now. What are you eating?
I got to finish up my Mandarin.
I forgot to give you one. I have it in the bag here.
This is my Mandarin today.
I have, I don't know.
See, JP tries to keep me healthy. Like, he brings me a Mandarin in, but he eats a damn footlong sub.
I bring us both a Mandarin.
But you eat a sub.
I also noticed something this morning, and honestly, I'll take calls on this if other people agree, because Landfill and I agree, and B-Mitch doesn't. I think there's more cars on the roads. I think like more people are either out and about or going back to work or something, but there's definitely more action in the world than there has been, and I think that's a positive sign. Like, we know people are starting to get their shots.
Before we go on, hold on.
Sure.
So, you know, we talking, and you wonder who's listening. And I get a text that says, you guys have me rolling. Oilers, Lidos, small squares, and work out of Dallas. It reminds me why I hate it when B-Mitch starts.
Thank you. I got this text, too.
Because
that's the thing.
You know, you can imagine who that
was. Can't we just be happy I'm eating a salad instead of a foot long?
No.
Clearly not.
Because I love hearing people say, oh, I ate a salad today. And I'm like, okay, so you see them like 5 weeks later, they be like, I've been eating salads. And you're like, well, you gained some weight. So what kind of dressing you eating on that damn salad?
You and I got another text that said the dog burned more calories than JP.
I'm it.
Yeah. So I will – listen, we got John McClain coming in just a few minutes, but I'm going to open the phones real quick. AAA, always on call listener line, 800-636-1067. Tell me if you think there's more cars on the road. Where I'm driving –
I didn't know. Coming from Virginia, I didn't notice it.
So I'm telling you the last few days, dude, like Monday and Tuesday this week, I think – so I'm coming from the west side of the city, like basically where River Road hits the Beltway.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of just sneak down along the river, or I go Mass Ave. So I'm going either MacArthur Canal or Mass Ave for people that know those routes. And the office down here, the studio's down here by Nats Park. I'm telling you, there's more traffic.
It could be. Like I told you, I say probably in the city and things of that nature. But coming up 66, it hasn't been that way for me.
Well, dude, I think another big factor is kids are going back to school either now or soon, right?
Yeah.
I think...
It's going to start.
Yeah.
But the only traffic I hit was when I got on 395 and one of the lanes was closed right before, I guess, right when you come across 14th Street Bridge and you turn that right to veer right to continue up 395. And then it was like a from, was that 12th Street right there, I think? by L'Enfant Plaza.
Right.
From there until South Capitol was a little traffic, but not much. But I haven't.
I'm not saying it's traffic like normal times, but there is a higher volume of cars.
Well, when
out
it's
there.
Traffic like normal times, I'm not coming 66 because right now it's like $2 to come on 66. When it's traffic at normal times, it's $35 to $40. I will not be going that damn direction.
You keep hitting your parlays, you'll be fine. That's your 66 fund.
No, I'm going to go 50.
Well, I legit worry. So now I'm dropping both of my daughters off at school. When traffic happens, I'm going to be coming in hot, like 9:45, 9:50, because I have like a pretty pleasant ride to work these days. And at some point, you know, this is still D.C. and traffic still sucks.
Yeah, it does. You get are any of those one-way direction lanes that you come on?
If I get on Canal or if I get when I get on Rock Creek Parkway is one way.
Okay. Because I used to go to D.C. down to this place sometimes, do a chiropractic stuff in the morning. And when I go that way, it wasn't bad. But if you just...
That's a good call.
But
I
if
can
you're
take
5 minutes later than you're supposed to be, it's hell.
And the one-way stops?
Oh, yeah.
Then you're in big trouble.
Yeah, big time.
And you're in the lane where you think it's one way, and then there's a car coming head-on at you? Then you're in big trouble.
There you go.
All right. So B says there aren't more cars. I say there are.
I just saying the way I came is not. It could be for you.
All right. Joe in Manassas. You think traffic's starting to pick up?
What's up, guys? Love this show. You guys are killing it.
What's up, man?
What I'm saying? Yeah, man, the traffic is picking up. Schools are going back. I'm on the road all day, every day. And, I mean, yeah, we got all these idiots are everywhere now.
What time, Joe, what time you leave out of your house?
This morning, I leave about 5:30 in the morning.
It's traffic at 5:30?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, normally, like I said, the last few months we've, you know, coasted. But then now it's picking up, man. It's getting a lot more grinding.
Where do you live?
You live Manassas?
I live in Reston, so I'm on the toll road a lot, which is you know, it's not too busy. But the last few months, the last 2 or 3 weeks, has been really a lot of people going on these roads, man. And it's tough out here.
I agree with you, Joe. Thank you for the call. I'm telling you, it's picked up significantly in the last 10 days.
I'll say this. Leaving here, when I was leaving at 3, going back to Virginia, I think the traffic never stopped being how it was. And now I leave at 2. Once you get outside the Beltway on 66, all that construction,
that construction's
it is hell.
A mess. Yeah.
But
I
when they
drive
finish
out
it,
there for something.
When they finish it, I hope they start limiting the houses out there. Because all they do is they build another road, then they add another 50,000 people out there.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is the traffic's bad during the construction, but then I'm not sure it ever gets better. Like, you're adding more lanes, but then there's just more people. That happened where we used to live in Kensington, that happened where they moved Walter Reed from downtown out to Bethesda, and then all that traffic that was already at the Naval Hospital and Walter Reed is going to one place, and they made all these crazy construction traffic lane adjustments, and the traffic just never changed. It's god-awful.
It doesn't.
All right, so we checked in with...
Kind of like when you eat all that food and you eat a salad thing, it's going to correct things.
Well, it does correct things.
That's
just simply
you
science.
You eat the vegetables before you eat all the junk so
Brian,
it can flow through a lot
Brian,
quicker.
I had pineapple this morning.
Oh,
how's that sound?
Do what you had, some asparagus?
For breakfast? Did you have some asparagus?
I'm saying that's why you eat pineapple normally. Just helping you out a little.
You're a weirdo. Let's go to Jason in Rockville.
I'll explain to you later.
Jason, what's up?
What's happening, fellas?
What's up,
How
man?
You doing, dude? What do you think about the traffic?
I'm looking forward to it again, man. School's almost back here in Montgomery County, and get these little misfits out of here, man. I'm ready.
Are you on 270 and 70?
Yeah, I'm right near the ice.
Yeah, that's hell right there, dude.
It's evil. But for me to get to the Arboretum this morning, it took about an hour and a half. I guess that's normal.
Hold on.
Like
Where are you coming from?
Carlisle? Frostburg. No, I'm joking.
Where is your starting location?
Leisure World.
Leisure World to the Arboretum down here off New York Avenue takes you an hour and a half?
Hour and a half. It usually takes about, 50 minutes? So it took me about an hour and a half. There was a good amount of traffic this morning. Maybe something was going on. Who knows? I don't know.
Wow. Sorry, dude. Hopefully you were listening to the Junkies and enjoying yourself.
Absolutely. Bye, guys.
All right, brother.
Appreciate the call. You know, and today might not be the day for it, but I would love to have like a poll of listeners. Everybody calls in and just says, what is the worst road? Because, listen, there's a lot of bad ones. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, in this area.
In the okay. area.
Because I got some outside of this area, too.
But 95 South, after the Beltway, after the Mixing Bowl, until you get to Fredericksburg, that is the worst in the universe, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but I think you can skip some of it a little bit. You know some ways.
Like, when we went to your house to drive to North Carolina, you know some.
Yeah, I went the back way. I come on 234. I try to get way down from the Mixing Bowl. But from right there in Woodbridge.
Yeah.
To Fredericksburg, I don't understand it.
It
makes no damn sense.
And I remember last summer, like early on in COVID quarantine time, it was still bad then, and there was nobody on the road.
The traffic, I mean, listen, there's a lot of construction money out there, isn't there?
I don't know, man.
God.
There's construction money, there's traffic money. Let's get one more of these calls. These are fun. Max in Herndon, what do you think of the traffic? Is it coming back?
Oh, yeah. How you guys doing today?
Doing well, man.
Great, man.
First-time caller. Loving the dynamic, guys.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude, the traffic has been insane. Mitch, I know you're talking about how roads or 66 is going to finish up. Dude, that road's been under construction for as long as I know, man. I don't see that finishing up anytime soon. One thing I have noticed is that the student drivers, everywhere, man, everywhere I see a sticker. Every single car.
A requirement now that you have to put that please be patient student driver sticker?
That's not a requirement, but it's a parent who's saying, you crazy fool, slow down. My little kid is in here. They don't have all the rules. Like, they don't know how to do everything you all know how to do.
Max, are you just honking at them, flashing your brights at all the student drivers?
I had four of those people.
I like that, man. Come on. Max, do you have any kids?
You have any kids?
No, I'm young. I got two dogs that are.
When you get kids, you're gonna remember this conversation.
Yeah, your dogs can't drive, can they?
No. Say again.
When you get kids, you're gonna remember this conversation.
Absolutely. Yes. I'll rewind. I'll play it for them. I appreciate the call, guys. You guys have a great day. Okay?
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks,
you too.
Max. You too, dude.
Yeah, it's just that's parents who saying, I know it's some crazy people out there. And more than likely, I'm one of them. So I'm going to make sure that somebody might look at this thing and say, okay, let me give them a break. Because one guy one day was riding all up on my daughter, and then he won't flip her off. I was hoping she had gotten that damn the license plate number, and I could have talked to him. I would have showed him about just trying to rush a little kid who can't drive. I would have shown him if I got close to him.
Oh, I can only imagine what you would have done. Somebody gave... Gave the bird.
And this daughter, Maya, she's the nicest person. I can't believe it. She was so upset. I'm like, did you see his car? What kind of car he has? What's the license plate number? Because I'm looking. I ride that area sometimes just to go to the area she said she was in so I can see if I see the car she said.
Oh, boy. I can only imagine what you would have done if you found that gentleman.
We're going to just talk a little bit.
I bet.
But I'm just saying, you know, be patient. I've noticed now. I watch people rushing, and I watch the guys who pass on the curb, on the side of the road and all that stuff. And all I do is laugh because I know that person is going to get caught. Because I remember when I was a young, stupid person, we did the same thing.
You've told me stories. Was it the Bentley you had? You had some cars.
We were going to Frostburg, Maryland, and, you know, I'm following with a couple of guys of mine, you know, and they decide they want to pass people. We're trying to race the training camp, and all of a sudden, I see a person on their phone, and I slow down. I say, okay, I'm going to let them go. When I pull up, guess what happened? They were pulled over.
Who was it?
The popo.
I know who did the pulling.
The people?
Who
I don't want to give all of these people information.
These former teammates
of
yours?
Yeah, these guys that played Mark Logan. And I mean, you know, people like that. What's my what's his name? I can't think of his name right now.
Well, it's good.
Alvin Harper. Yeah, you know, me, him, Shep, T.A.
I have a funny Alvin Harper story from Haynes Point, I'll tell you someday.
He lives at Haynes Point.
I mean, this was 20 years ago, probably.
20 years ago?
No, probably, how old would I have been? Like 25. So like 15 years ago.
Okay. We got to check your math first. Make sure you got it.
Here's what we got to do. We got to break, or Landfill's going to have a heart attack. When we come back, we're going to be joined by John McClain from Houston. Let's talk a little bit about Deshaun Watson, figure out how close this thing might be getting to a real trade. Coming up next, 106.7 The Fan.
Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel. That's the reason why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same-game parlay, and exclusive always-on promotions such as enhanced odds boosts on the biggest events to let you get more action out of every game. And if you win, they even get you your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. Listen, FanDuel Sportsbook is absolutely the place that you want to be because you can bet on so many things right now. We have hockey. We have basketball. You know, football is on the way. We got golf. And definitely, let's go back to it, basketball. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place any bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win your first bet. That's your first bet only, people. Just place any bet you want on NBA, college, basketball, you can go tennis, you go golf, anything out there that you can bet on, FanDuel probably have something. And if you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. Like, I love the same game parlay. You could get a player. You pick the team. So many different ways to win you some money. Or just try to do a parlay. Go up and down and get multiple teams. If you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. And be sure to sign up and use the promo code Brian so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Brian. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of Radio.com and 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old, the president of Virginia. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitch and Finley right here on 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along via social media as well. Follow me on Twitter at JPFinleyNBCS. Follow Brian at B. Mitch Live NBCS. We are very excited to welcome in John McClain on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. John McClain has been covering the NFL for the Houston Chronicle for 45 years. John, thank you so much for joining us, man.
It's my pleasure, guys. How are you?
Doing well, man.
So we just had to ask our producer, who is 27, if he remembered the Houston Oilers.
He remembered one person.
He said he remembers the Tennessee Oilers, and he only remembers Al Del Greco.
Well, that's maybe because Al's in the sports talk radio business.
That might be it. But obviously we want to talk to Deshaun Watson with you. But is it crazy for you even in Houston now? I imagine a lot of young Texans fans don't even remember the Oilers.
They don't, although all the players are here. They're prominent in the community. A lot of them are ambassadors for the Texans. And so it's not like they just disappeared. Totally, they're involved in a lot of charity work. And anytime the Texans screw up like right now, people think of the worst times for the Oilers to compare them to the Texans. And also when the Texans are so bad as they are right now, people remember the good old days with the Oilers. And I remind them that from after the 1979 season, and the Oilers left after the 1996 season, they never got any farther in the playoffs than the Texans did. They never got beyond the divisional round. Texans have never gotten beyond the divisional round. So the last time the Oilers, only time they won two championships, first 2 years of the American Football League, 1661, 78-79, they went to the AFC Championship game. Those Love You Blue Oilers with Bum Phillips and Earl Campbell lost at Three Rivers Stadium to the Steelers. And then things got bleak for a while. Then they went to the playoffs 7 years in a row with Hall of Famers Warren Moon, Bruce Matthews, Mike Munchak, but still never got beyond the divisional round.
Wow. Yeah, I remember.
That's
so
crazy.
For one, I love the Oilers logo. There's a musician out of Texas, John Bowman. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he sells kind of bootleg T-shirts with his name and the Oilers logo. I have one of those. My neighbors know how closely affiliated I am with the Washington football team. They think it's so bizarre when I'm walking around wearing an Oilers T-shirt. But I remember those Warren Moon teams, the run and shoot. It was so much fun to watch. Anyway, up to the current situation.
Well, hang on one second.
Sure.
My wife grew up in Silver Spring. She is a diehard Washington football team fan, but she still calls them the Redskins because she loved them under George Allen and Joe Gibbs. And she
good old days.
Once they changed the name and dropped Redskins, she started ordering things with Redskins on it. And I said, what is the point to have all this all over the house? What are you going to do with it? You don't wear it in public, but she just kind of collects it. And when we had our first date, she told me she was a big fan of the Redskins. I went out and ordered a Sonny Jurgensen jersey, faked his name on the number, gave it to her, thought she'd be impressed. She looked at it, and she said, you wrote this. Then she goes in one of her bedrooms and comes out with a real one. You talk about looking like an idiot, I look like an idiot.
Tell her, hey, it's a thought that counts, John.
I tried. Well, it must have worked, but it certainly, well, I was able to bounce back from that one, Brian.
I bet she's That's happy funny. That you're talking with B. Mitch then, if she's a big Washington football Skins fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when George Allen went to the Hall of Fame and Bruce and his brother and his mom hosted a party for all the former people that had come there, teammates, coaches, we were invited by Bruce and Carol and I went. We sat with Jack Pardee and Charlie Casserly.
Wow.
And she already knew. I don't know how she knew Sonny and Billy. She wouldn't give Billy the time of day because she loves Sonny. They came here for a golf tournament one time. She went out there to see Sonny, and King Hill, the old football player and coach, introduced her to Billy. And I was embarrassed when she told me this. I said, did you speak to him? She said, no, I'm a Sonny fan. If you're a Redskins fan, you only spoke to one of them. I said, you should be embarrassed, but she wasn't.
Hey, that quarterback controversy goes a long ways, doesn't it?
It does, and it was big for her. Well, I'll tell you one more story. My wife's a diehard sports fan. Her parents only cared about politics. Her mother used to take her to the Watergate hearings, and they would come down here and stay with us, and they didn't know squat about sports. They wanted to watch C-SPAN and CNN. I'd have to go in another room. And one time I came back at night, I left the Texans, and I see all of them on a phone in the den. They're all excited. The parents are showing emotion like I've never seen. And I thought, oh, my God, what happened? And I tried to interrupt them, and they wouldn't let me. Finally, my wife says, hold on, and holds her hand up in front of my face. I said, what is it? What is it? Joe Gibbs is back. Oh, my God.
People don't understand when you tell them that this team, football team, comes before everything else in this town. When they're rolling, I just believe that.
If they can ever get rolling again.
Do you guys remember the game? The Skins, I think, were 9-0. The Oilers, 8-1. They played at RFK.
Yeah, I remember that game. I fumbled, and they missed the field goal.
You remember Chip Low Miller kicked the winning field goal after the Oilers missed the field goal. And I got my wife and her parents' seats on the first row. And when Chip Low Miller lined up for that field goal, I looked over. They all had their faces buried in the Redskins blanket. And then when the crowd roared, they looked up and started jumping. And, of course, RFK started shaking like only it could. And I think she was happy for at least a month after they beat the Oilers. One other story. Washington came down here first game of 88 after winning the Super Bowl. And she and I had a bet. She said that if Washington beat the Oilers, I had to sing Hail to the Redskins on my talk show. And so I knew the first verse, so I learned all of it. I practiced. First play of the game, Eugene Seal just levels the kickoff returner. It was a Shepherd. It wasn't you, Brian. It was Shepherd. And he just leveled him, and the Oilers won that game by a landslide. And I did not have to sing Hail to the Redskins on my talk show.
It's funny. B. Mitch played in that game. You covered that game. I remember being either 8 or 9 years old in the car with my dad, listening to Sonny, Sam, and Frank at that point calling the game. And when the Houston kicker missed that field goal, one of the most iconic things I remember in my childhood was Sonny Jurgensen saying, "God must have the Redskins in the football pool today," because it was a pretty, it was a chip shot up field goal, if I recall.
When I met Sam up in the press box for the first time I can't remember if it was here, if it was RFK, but when I met him, I went up and introduced myself. And like most people, when I grew up watching him, I thought he was larger in life. And the reason I wanted to meet Sam up, he was my father's favorite player because he was dirty and he was physical. And my dad used to say, now that's a mean SOB, and that's the way football ought to be played. So when I met Sam Huff and told him he was my dad's favorite player, he couldn't have been nicer. And when I told my dad, I called him, and he's the reason I'm here today because of his love for football. I told him I met Sam Huff. You thought I told him I met Jesus. The way he was so awe-inspired, I thought he was going to cry.
John, this has been just an incredible kind of trip down memory lane. You understand the radio world. We do have to take a break. Is there any way you could stay, or we can call you right back to ask you a couple Deshaun questions?
No, I'm happy to stay, guys. I'm sorry I got distracted on Washington's story.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great.
I enjoyed it. But I do want to pick your brain on the situation in Houston and what's happening next with Deshaun. So we'll do that after this break if that works for you.
It sounds great, guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. Quick break here on 106.7 The Fan. We're coming right back with John McClain, the voice of football for Houston. He is very, very into this Deshaun Watson situation. Let's figure out what's going on. B. Mitch and Finley, we are back.
Yeah.
And we are joined by John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. John covers the Houston Texans. And, John, you have been all over this Deshaun Watson situation. Brian and I both believe, I don't think Deshaun's coming back. What are the trade offers looking like? What will it take to get him out of Houston?
First of all, the Texans have said from day one they're not trading him. Now, that's smart because the more they do that, the more teams are going to offer. But say he doesn't report, he's not going to report. I think he'd go into regular season. I think he's made millions. His new contract doesn't kick in until 2022. So there's no way he's going to sit out the season and have that contract toll, in which in 2022 would make $10.5 million instead of $35. So what he would do, stay out and report for the minimal number of games in which you get credit for that contract. And then you might turn around and do it again next year. To me, nothing good comes from that. It would be a constant distraction. Why would you want a player who was absolutely miserable and had told you, or told you through his agent, David Mulligetta, that he was not coming back? To me, they have to trade him. And they're not going to be in a position of strength where he's coming off a great season. He improved in every statistic. He's 25 years old, pillar of the community. Everybody loves him. And they don't want to trade him. Nobody wants him to be traded. But he doesn't want to spend his prime years here undergoing a rebuild. And nobody does. Watt was able to get out of his deal by asking to be released, and they did it. And people say, well, if they do it with him, why not do it with Watson? There was a little difference in Watt will be 32 and Watson is 25. So to me, with the Jets second and the Dolphins third, you have to get those two AFC East teams bidding against each other. And I'm thinking after Watt joined DeAndre Hopkins and a couple other former Texans, as well as former Texans secondary coach Vance Joseph, who's Arizona's defensive coordinator, go ahead and offer him for Kyler Murray straight up. Let Kyler Murray come back to Texas. Hopefully he wouldn't retire. But if there's only two ways of getting a franchise quarterback if you trade involved in the draft. If Nick Caserio, general manager, who was at New England the last 20 years, thought Tua Tagovailoa was a franchise quarterback last year when the Patriots scouted quarterbacks thoroughly because they finally needed one. If he thought Tua was a franchise quarterback, deal with the Dolphins. Dolphins have two ones, two twos. The one and the two that are high belong to the Texans, the last vestiges of the Laramie Tunsil, Kenny Stills trade. If not the Dolphins, if he didn't think Tua was a franchise quarterback, to me it's got to be with the Jets because that is the only way you can be guaranteed of getting the second best quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence. That might be Zach Wilson. And so all these reports about Carolina and Denver and San Francisco, I don't buy it. They pick 8th, 9th, and 12th. Mm-hmm. They don't care about Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Locke or Jimmy Garoppolo. They want a guy that they can at least sell as a franchise quarterback because this market right now, the only time I've seen it when it was more negative was when they were moving to Nashville, and that took a two-year period. And right now, they're not moving the franchise yet, but I'm telling you, I don't know how they could sell tickets, suites, sponsorships, anything, because every day it's 24/7 negativity. So Nick Caserio has got to trade Watson and it deal with another team that's got to hurt that team. But they got a quarterback for 10 to 15 years, and it's an unprecedented situation in the NFL.
Well, John, I'm probably the one Washington football team fan who is probably more interested in what happens there, because David Culley was my coach in college, recruited me out of high school, so known him since I was 16 years old, and I wonder how he must feel going into that situation where your quarterback is gone and you lost J.J. Watt. How does he get his feet on solid ground to be able to build this team into something?
I'm glad you said that, Brian, because Culley's been great. You know, he waited 27 years to be a head coach. Never been a coordinator, never been interviewed. But Nick Caserio, making the first hire of his career, he picked David Culley. He was one of two finalists, along with Leslie Frazier from Buffalo, and yep. He took a chance on Culley. And Culley has been great to deal with. He knew Watt was going to be gone. We all did. And we pretty much knew when he was hired that Watson said he wasn't going to come back. But you know, he thought he could talk him into it. And he's the one who met with Watson last week. And yep. He told him the plan to try to turn it around. But it didn't change his mind. And that's why they need to give him another franchise quarterback and a lot of draft choices to rebuild.
Hey, John, I'm curious. Here in Washington a few years ago, we had a somewhat similar situation with Trent Williams, who just was done with the organization, wasn't going to play for him, and made that clear. Do Deshaun and Trent have a relationship? I know Trent's from Houston, and do you think Trent has kind of paved the way for players to do this?
Oh, I don't know. Trent's name, even though he lives here, his name's never come up in relation to Watson. Le'Veon Bell has come up, you know, some other guys that set out the season. The difference is, Bell hadn't done squat since he set out. Trent Williams played really well for the 49ers, even at 33. Now he's going to get a new contract. So this one is totally different. Every other time I've seen a guy hold out, it was involving money. And then Trent Williams pops up, and he just wants to get away from there. And it's unique. But, hey, it worked for him, and I'm sure it'll work for Watson. He's whoever gets him, that trade, their fans are going to go, oh, my God, I can't believe they gave that up for him. But you know what? You got money for free agency. You'll get draft. You'll have a full draft in about 3 years. But it's got to hurt these next 2 years. And Miami and the Jets have multiple first-round picks and second-round picks, and they need to get them going against each other because the Jets have farther to go, of course. But if Watson were in Miami, a lot of people would think them to beat the Bills for the AFC East title.
If you get a quarterback, what's the next move they need to do there in Houston?
Oh, first of all, they had no running game here last year. They were second worst to Pittsburgh. And, boy, that sounds weird to think Pittsburgh was last in rushing. Their defense was horrendous. Other than they couldn't rush the passer, other than Watt, and they couldn't cover, everything was fine. Their defense needs a total overhaul. They need a running game. And if Watson were back, then they would bring back Will Fuller. I think Fuller doesn't want to be here, and his contract's up. We're expecting him to walk, and they hope to get a third-round compensatory pick. But at this point, Nick Caserio's first job is a total rebuild. Even if Watson, all of a sudden, the tree hit him on the head and he didn't realize what he'd been doing, he reported for work, it's still a rebuild.
John, I know that you said that three ones and two players might be enough to get the Deshaun Watson trade, get him out of Houston. Is that going up? Is that price tag changing with the other QB moves we've seen?
I don't think that has anything to do with this one. And I've made a lot of proposals. One with the Jets was they've got two ones this year, two ones next year. You can take two ones and two twos this year or take another one in 2023. You can only go 3 years forward and take a defensive lineman like Quinnen Williams. Their safety, Marcus May, is unrestricted, so he'd have to re-sign. But I think you got to have at least three number ones. And truthfully, unless you get what Miami's got this year, they're going to be good. You think they're going to be good. So you're going to be like Detroit in the trade with the Rams. Those number ones are going to be low. You got to load up as much as you can. And even with Watson, the Jets would be bad next season. So that's why I think they should deal with the Jets, draft BYU quarterback Zach Wilson, second overall, if he is the second overall rated quarterback, use those other picks. They got seven. They don't have their first and second. But if they came away with two or three this year, that would give them at least 10. So that would give them the best chance to rebuild. But like I say, it's going to take, I think, at least three ones and two twos and maybe a starter. But you get a great quarterback for more than a decade.
John, just real quick, I can't imagine the Washington football team has the ammo to really be dealing on this one. Is that, am I reading that right?
I've not heard Washington come up one time, but I never heard Arizona come up one time with J.J. Watt either. So there's been at least five teams that have called, and you know there'll be more, because if you need a quarterback, why not inquire?
There you go.
John, I can't thank you enough.
Appreciate
this was
you,
a blast. It was so much fun hearing those old RFK stories. And B-Mitch wants to clear it up that he actually did not fumble in that game.
It was a fumble, but my knee was down. And they picked it up.
I remember that.
Yep, they picked it up, and I was on the sideline crying because I thought I had given the damn game away.
Hey, Brian and JP, thank you guys very much for having me.
Appreciate you, John.
Have a great rest of the week. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That is the great John McClain, Houston Chronicle, covered the Oilers, covers the Texans. Follow him on Twitter, at McClain on NFL, underscore between on and NFL. Really appreciate his time. Time
yes.
for us to take a break. When we come back, Switching Gears is going to talk to Barstool Nate right here, 106.7 The Fan.